This past Sunday, we looked at the church according to Judges. And we looked at correlations between what we see of Israel in the book of Judges and what we can see of the church. Both Israel and the church call for the same purpose, set apart by God to be His witness, to testify of Him to the nations. But so often we see the church failing, even as the Lord's people Israel failed over and over again. And yet, even in the midst of all that failure, God continues to pursue His purposes, the purposes of His heart, through all generations. In our deep dive this evening, we are going to look at the book of Ruth in a study that we've entitled, God Preserves His Purposes, The Story of a Remnant in the Days of Failure. Two books of the Bible are named after women, Esther and Ruth. The Jews read the story of Esther at the time that they observe Purim. They read the story of Ruth at Pentecost. We said on Sunday that history always repeats itself. And the accounts in the book of the Judges are a tragic story of repeated failure. History repeating itself over and over again. For 340 years, generation after generation failed to fulfill the purpose for which God had brought them into the promised land. And yet, in the midst of generational failure, repeated generational failure, God preserves His purposes. We noted on Sunday that the statement, again, the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord, occurs seven times in the accounts of the Judges, as well as many more times in the following centuries. But here in the midst of repeated generational failure, the Holy Spirit reveals, through the story of Ruth and Boaz, how God preserves the purposes of His heart through all generations, despite the recurring failure of those generations. Now, the story of Boaz and Ruth takes place in the early days of the accounts of the Judges. And we know this because we are told that the father of Boaz was Salmon, and his mother, Rahab. That takes us back to the early days of Joshua. We read in Matthew chapter 1, where Matthew presents the genealogy that leads up to Jesus, that Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. We also know that already, even in these early days, Israel had acted with evil in the sight of the Lord. How do we know? Because the curses that Moses had predicted in Deuteronomy 28 reaffirmed under Joshua's leadership were already being fulfilled. Remember how Moses said to the people, I know that despite what you are saying, You are going to violate the terms of the covenant. Joshua had re-emphasized that. And yet, what do we read as we open this story of Ruth? In the days when the judges ruled in Israel, a severe famine came upon the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah left his home and went to live in the country of Moab, taking his wife and two sons with him. Two things that we see here. First of all, there was a severe famine. Moses had said that God would bring famine if the people forsook him. But if they remained faithful to him, God would give them abundance year after year. So this famine was a direct consequence of doing evil in the sight of the Lord. The second thing that we see here is this man from Bethlehem taking his wife and two sons to a place where God had said, do not associate with these people. Remember that in Numbers, the women of Moab had come out and tempted the men of Israel to worship their gods, to sacrifice to them, and to commit sexual immorality. And it resulted in a great judgment. And so we see compounded failure, both on a national level and on an individual level. We have talked previously about this aspect of what is eternally determining. And we have referenced numerous times Psalm 33 and verse 11. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of His heart through all generations. We previously stated that the plans and the purposes of God began before human history, and they have an eternally determining fulfillment for all humanity at the conclusion of human history. And two verses of Scripture that give us that bookend picture is one verse from Revelation 13 concerning the Lamb who was slain before the creation of the world. And then at the end of human history, in Revelation 20, those whose names were not in the book of life and were therefore cast into eternal judgment. However, it is also true that because every generation and every person within each generation has a God-assigned role to fulfill, the plans and purposes of God also have an eternally determining fulfillment in the present, not just at the end of human history, but also in the present. These truths converge in the story of Boaz and Ruth. It is a wonderful story. It is a love story. It is a story of the purposes of God. It is a story that contains many types which are fulfilled in Christ. Many scriptural principles that lead us to the New Testament, some of which we will see. One of the most extraordinary aspects of this story is finding the story of Boaz and Ruth placed directly in the mainstream of Old Testament salvation and messianic history. And we know this from Matthew's genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, beginning with Abraham, making its way through his descendants, including Salmon, Boaz, Obed, Jesse, King David, including the names of women like Tamar, who seduced her father-in-law, but whose sons are listed in the genealogy of Jesus, Rahab, the Canaanite prostitute, Ruth from Moab, Bathsheba, who was the wife of Uriah. All of these in the genealogy of Jesus, the Old Testament history of salvation through the coming Messiah. Therefore, we can say that Boaz and Ruth, their lives are directly linked to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, a declaration made by John the Baptizer when he saw Jesus, and thus they are also linked to the destiny of those whose names are written in the book of life of the Lamb. Amazing. It is also the story of a remnant. The story of how God sustains His purposes through unfaithful generations. We see the means by which God is able to preserve His purposes. And the story of Ruth and Boaz also reveal what it takes to be part of the remnant through which God continues the purposes of His heart through all generations. I want to look at three aspects of this. This story of a remnant through which God continues His purposes despite unfaithfulness in those generations. The first aspect is covenant allegiance. I wish we had time this evening to read the entire story of the book of Ruth. Every detail is very significant. Every verse, it seems, pulses with truth that relates back to previous books that we have read together, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Ruth comes into the story of Israel through a forbidden marriage. God had forbidden His people to intermarry with the idol-worshipping nations around them. And yet, even in the failure of two generations, Elimelech, who left Bethlehem with his wife and two sons, those two sons who married Moabite women who were idol worshipers, yet even in the midst of the failure of those Israelite people around her, Ruth in her heart, even if it was in limited understanding, became connected to the destiny ordained for Israel by the covenant-keeping God. It is as amazing as the story of Rahab. Remember how we saw that when Rahab talked to the two Hebrew spies that night up on her roof, she affirmed in no uncertain terms her understanding of the revelation of their God being the one and only true God, and her trust in him. Amazing! She didn't have around her any other testimony or witness, only what she had heard secondhand. And yet a work of God's grace within her heart, even before she met those Hebrew spies, had led her to put her faith and trust in the one true God. Here we have Ruth in a family of compromised Israelites. And yet, she affirms her faith in the covenant-keeping God and becomes part of the destiny that the Lord God has ordained for Israel. We read how all of their husbands died, Naomi's, Orpah's, and Ruth's. And Naomi determined to go back to Israel. Her two daughter-in-laws went with her. But on the way back, she implored them to return back to their own people because there was no future for them where she was going. But Ruth would not leave her, even though Orpah went back. Note in Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, the extreme nature of the words that Ruth spoke to Naomi. Note also their parallel to the vows of marriage covenant. But Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you or turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." Don't read quickly over those words. They reveal an extraordinary work of grace that has taken place in Ruth, one that she has absolutely, unequivocally embraced, even to the point of vowing, "May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." Ruth was adamant about forsaking every other aspect of identity related to country, heritage, and culture. She embraced an absolute identity with Israel, even if it was poorly represented by an embittered Naomi. In faith, she was willing to go wherever and into whatever circumstances that decision would lead her. It didn't matter what was going to happen to her. It didn't matter what awaited her. It didn't matter how great the unknowns. Oh, what a contrast to the people of Israel, that generation with the greatest opportunity, when they were faced with the possibility of going into the promised land, the impossibilities and the unknowns were too great for their faith to overcome. Ruth, on the other hand, is determined. How can she be so determined? Because she had forsaken every other aspect of her identity. There was no compromise in her heart. She had come to a place of absolute covenant allegiance, even though she was a Moabite without any of the covenant revelation, any of the covenant provisions, any of the covenant promises of the Lord God of Israel. Like Rahab, Ruth's heart had received the grace of God with such transforming effect that no cost or difficulty was so intimidating as to make her shrink back. Tragically, there are many Christians today who, even though they have received the abundance of new covenant grace through Jesus Christ, have never received that grace with such transforming effect, nor allowed it to have such an effect upon their hearts. Here is Ruth of Moab. A woman of an idolatrous, immoral nation. And yet, she becomes the testimony of one who possesses an undivided heart of covenant allegiance to the purposes of God. I will go where you go. I will live where you live. I will die where you die. I will be buried where you are buried. An undivided heart of covenant allegiance to the purposes of God. The second aspect is covenant faithfulness. In Isaiah, God declared that He makes known the end from the beginning. In the story of Boaz and Ruth, we discover that despite the unfaithfulness of generations, God had embedded what was necessary for His redemptive purposes to continue through a faithful remnant. Once again, in the story of Boaz and Ruth, we discover that despite the unfaithfulness of generations, God had embedded what was necessary for His redemptive purposes to continue through a faithful remnant. How do we see this? Well, in going to Moab, Elimelech had abandoned and forfeited his assigned place in Israel. He was of the tribe of Judah, or in the land of Judah there in Bethlehem. In going to Moab, he left behind his assigned place. God, however, in the book of instruction, the laws of Moses, had provided a means for the redemption of that forfeited heritage through the instructions, or through the actions, rather, of a kinsman redeemer. And this is where Boaz comes into the story. We read after a series of events that involved Ruth going to glean in Boaz's fields, Boaz having interaction with her, fulfilling the laws of God regarding the foreigners that would glean in the fields, Ruth going back to Naomi, and Naomi giving Ruth instructions regarding the work of a kinsman redeemer that Boaz engaged himself in the work that was necessary to bring about the redemption of what was forfeited. We read in the last verse of Ruth chapter 3, "Then Naomi said, 'Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens. For the man,'" speaking of Boaz, "'will not rest until the matter is settled today.'" We read that Boaz went to the gate of the city where the elders would gather to render decisions that were brought before them. And when he saw the nearest kinsman, the one who had the right to redeem what had been forfeited, Boaz confronted him. "Will you fulfill your responsibility to be the nearest kinsman redeemer?" And the man declined to do it. And we see that Boaz demonstrated a heart of covenant faithfulness to the laws that God had put in place through Moses. And when the nearest kinsman redeemer did not want to fulfill that responsibility, Boaz took it upon himself to do so. That was the mechanism that God had placed, embedded, that even in the midst of failed generations, His purposes would continue through a kinsman redeemer. So whatever other plans Boaz may have had for his future, he set them aside to fulfill the requirements of the law. In that way, he was explicitly like Joshua. We read of Joshua that he was obedient to everything that Moses had commanded him before Moses died. As the years went by, Joshua specifically carried out the commands of Moses, obedient to them all. And in the same way, Boaz was obedient to all of the demands of the covenant commanded by Moses. The third thing that we see is covenant capacity. So we've seen the way that God preserves His purposes in a covenant or in a failed generation through His remnant. Covenant allegiance, covenant faithfulness, and now covenant capacity. So here's an important truth that we see in the book of Ruth. Walking in covenant faithfulness accomplishes a work of grace that creates within us the capacity to be used by God to fulfill His purposes. Once again, walking in covenant faithfulness creates accomplishes a work of grace that creates within us the capacity to be used by God to fulfill His purposes. This was something that the Apostle Paul was emphasizing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And so we see in Ruth's life that covenant allegiance on her part led to covenant direction on God's part. She vowed covenant allegiance to the Lord God of Israel when she said to Naomi, "Your God will be my God. I will go where you go, I will die where you die, and may the Lord deal with me ever so severely if I do not do what I have said." Covenant allegiance on Ruth's part led to covenant direction on God's part. God ordained her into his next step of his purposes for her, to glean in the fields of Boaz. This is where you and I can say one thing leads to another. And her covenant allegiance led to God's covenant direction, which ordained her footsteps, bringing her into the fields of a kinsman redeemer, so that the purposes of God could be restored. Marrying a Moabite woman was not in Boaz's plans. How do we know? Boaz was a man who was faithful to the law of God. Of his own volition, Boaz, as a man of covenant faithfulness, would not have married a Moabite woman. That was forbidden by God. But it was in God's plans for him to do so. It was God's purpose for their generation, Ruth and Boaz. Faithfulness to fulfill the law of Moses placed Boaz in the spiritual position that the redemptive purposes of God could be executed through him. You see, Boaz was a man whose will was surrendered to God. On Sunday, we talked about the Luciferian doctrine of individualism. We see it defined for us at the end of the book of Judges, illustrated, however, on every page of the account of the Judges. And every man did what was right in his own eyes. The Luciferian doctrine of individualism. For it was Lucifer who said, "I will, I will." But Boaz was a man like the Lord Jesus Christ. He had said, "Not my will." He was fully devoted to the will of God revealed through the law of Moses. And that faithfulness had prepared his heart so that whatever God's will was for him, and in this case, it was to marry Ruth, he was surrendered to do what God desired. The purposes, the redemptive purposes of God were able to be executed through him because of that surrender. The story of Ruth's covenant allegiance and Boaz's covenant faithfulness also reveals another important truth to us, that we can never go any further into God's blessing and purpose than where we are in our covenant commitment to him. Now, we see this principle illustrated over and over again as we read through the book of Judges. Indeed, throughout the history of Israel, it is true about generation after generation who could go no further than where they were in their covenant commitment to the Lord. Some would go further than others. Some would start out and fall short, compromising their covenant commitment somewhere along the way. But this truth is presented to us in Ruth, in the story of these two individuals, one who epitomized covenant allegiance, and the other who demonstrated such covenant faithfulness. you and I can never go any further in experiencing God's blessing or fulfilling God's purposes than where we are in our covenant commitment to Him. One final insight for us here. We find in the story, in the lives of Boaz and Ruth, a beautiful New Testament fulfillment. As we have already noted, they are ancestors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here they are, a Jew and a Gentile, brought together in the will of God. And that coming together as ancestors of the Lord Jesus Christ is a beautiful picture that Paul elaborates on in writing to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 18, where God takes the Jews who are near and the Gentiles who are far away and without the covenant promises of God, foreigners without hope, and in Christ brings the two together and makes them one, brought together by the saving, redeeming work of Jesus Christ. It is also a beautiful fulfillment of God's purposes reclaimed and God's ultimate promise given to Abraham being fulfilled when God said, "And through your seed, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." God made that promise to Abraham in Genesis 22. The Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 3 that when God made that promise and used the word seed, it was singular because the fulfillment of that promise was Jesus Christ. And here we have found Boaz and Ruth, a Jew and a Gentile, ancestors of the Lord Jesus Christ, brought together in this beautiful picture that reveals to us the redeeming work of our kinsman, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find in the book of Ruth one of the most wonderful stories. It's a story of how God preserves His purposes in the midst of failed generations, and it's a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who brought us near, who redeemed us, and who made us one. The Apostle Paul says, "So we both have access to God the Father through the Spirit." Hallelujah. What a beautiful, beautiful story. May it enrich your hearts as you see Jesus once again in every page of Scripture. Father, I thank you tonight that you have opened our eyes that we might see your great plan of salvation and how you continue your purposes through every generation, even those who fail. You still continue your purposes, finding a remnant through whom you can do your work. Father, we pray that we would be faithful to you. We pray that you would give us hearts of covenant allegiance, that we would be in a posture like Boaz of covenant faithfulness to you, so that no matter what you ask of us, no matter what position you lead us in, we, like Boaz, will not have to think twice about fulfilling what you have revealed is your will for us. We will immediately step forward. Our hearts will say, Lord, here am I, use me. Your purposes will be able to go forth through our lives because of our surrender and commitment to you. Thank you for this beautiful story. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for once again revealing the Lord Jesus Christ to us. To the honor and glory of his name we pray. Amen.